During my childhood, I developed a bad habit of eating fast. I used to try to explain it away by claiming that I had to eat fast because if I didn't, my two older brothers would eat it all and I wouldn't have anything left. That wasn't really the case. I think it had more to do with we all ate fast because we were in a hurry to get to the next event on our calendar. We were very busy. I do, though, remember one time in high school, I was at a friend's house. There were several of us there, and a friend's mom served spaghetti for dinner, and we were all sitting around the table, and they were all talking, and I was eating. I thought that's what dinner was for. And suddenly I was done, and nobody else was even halfway done. And I remember one of them looking up and saying, "Did you even taste that?" Now, health professionals tell us that it's a good idea to slow down, to chew thoroughly. Not only will it provide benefits to our body, we might actually discover that some of that food actually does taste good. And what is true in the physical world is also true in the spiritual. The Bible often refers to itself as spiritual food. In some passages, it is likened unto bread. Others, as meat or milk. But the idea is that the Scriptures nourish us spiritually. And if we hope to grow strong in our faith and to fight off the attacks of the enemy, we need to consistently be partaking in God's Word. Now, as important as it is that we feed on the Word of God, it is also important how we feed on it. We shouldn't think that we can partake of spiritual food one day a week and that's going to get us through the next 7 days. I mean, we would never do that physically, right? We would never leave church and head to the local buffet, all you can eat, and say, "I'm going to eat enough that it'll last me until next Sunday." Now, it might seem that we ate enough to last us until next Sunday, but I guarantee you that sometime this evening, you're going to want to eat again. And if not then, certainly by tomorrow morning, you're going to need to eat again. Our bodies were made to handle smaller portions consistently to keep our bodies going. And the same is true spiritually. We should not try to cram so much Scriptures into our minds that we don't comprehend what we are reading. To use the example of our physical bodies, we need to chew on it, meaning that we take in the truth of God's Word slowly, deliberately, looking to understand what we are reading. John Stott gives a good illustration of how we should approach the Bible. He says, "Read the text, reread it, and read it again. Turn it over and over in your mind, like Mary, the mother of Jesus, who wondered at all these things the shepherds had said and pondered them in her heart. Chew it as a cow chews the cud." Now, I'll admit, I'm a city kid. I'm not going to pretend that I know all there is to know about livestock and their feeding habits, but I have heard about how a cow chews its cud. It chews the same grass over and over and over, hey, whatever it is it's eating, and then it swallows it, brings it back up, and chews on it some more. I know that's not very appetizing, but that's how they do it. That's how they were made. That's how they digest their food, and it's actually a good illustration of what we need to do with the Scriptures. Now, I'm not suggesting you tear out a page and put it in your mouth and chew it up. That's not my point. This is a mental exercise where we let God's Word formulate in our minds and we go over it and think about it and kind of mentally chew on it. And this morning I'd like to consider how we can chew on our spiritual food found in the Bible, focusing our attention on three practices. Scripture memorization, and this is committing verses or passages to memory. Scripture meditation, this is contemplating those verses and passages in our minds. And then what I'm calling scripture mobilization, and that's taking the truth and putting it into practice. And I believe that these three steps will make the Bible come alive to us, and it'll make us stronger in our faith. The first practice that'll help us chew on our spiritual food is scripture memorization. Committing a verse or a passage of scripture to memory so that we can quote it without having the Bible in front of us. And it has a lot of benefits. Chuck Swindoll points out, I know of no other single practice in the Christian life more rewarding, practically speaking, than memorizing scripture. That's right. No other single discipline is more useful and rewarding than this. No other single exercise pays greater spiritual dividends. Your prayer life will be strengthened. Your witnessing to others will be sharper and much more effective. Your counseling will be in demand. Your attitudes and your outlook will begin to change. Your mind will become alert and obedient. Your confidence will be enhanced. Your faith will be solidified. Now, I can already hear some of you saying, I can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. Our capacity to remember is a God-given gift. You know, you may think you have a poor memory, but in fact, our minds are filled with millions of ideas, truths, facts, and figures. I know some of us that are into sports. We get talking about our favorite team and our favorite player, and it's amazing how many numbers and figures and records can come out. They're there. Some of you ladies have favorite recipes that you could just give out by heart. You don't even have to have the recipe card in front of you. They're there. It's in the mind. The truth is, we remember what's important to us. And if God's Word is important to us, we'll take the time to memorize it and remember it. I think, though, that in our day and age, with all of our technology, I think we've become mentally lazy as a society. We let computers and calculators do our thinking for us. I remember many years ago, I was substitute teaching in a middle school, and it was a math class. I'll admit, math is not my strong suit. But on this particular day, we were studying square roots. Now, how many of you have ever used square roots any time after junior high math? I never have. But if nothing else, I thought this was a good opportunity to teach a mental exercise. And the idea was you were to use knowledge you had and work your way logically to the answer of the question. For example, if they wanted to know what is the square root of 381, nobody knows that off the top of their head, but you might remember that the square root of 400 is 20. So you guesstimate, you say, well, maybe it's 19 or 18, and you figure that out and how close you are, then you adjust. So I was trying to teach that practice to the kids. So I wrote a question up, or had the number up on the board, and immediately this kid pops off with exactly the right answer. And I turned around and I looked at him, and I knew something was up. And sure enough, he had a calculator underneath the desk. You know, he's figuring it out. As soon as I wrote it up there, he had the answer. I confess, I went off. I told these kids, this is why, as Americans, we're falling behind the rest of the world, because we're letting other things do our thinking for us. We need to use our minds. And then we wonder, as we get older, why we start losing our memory. Now, it's true that that's part of the aging process, but I'm wondering if we don't lose more of our memory quicker because we're not using it. And a great way to strengthen our memories and our mental function is to memorize God's Word. The mind is like a muscle. It becomes stronger the more that we use it. Psalm 119, verse 11, part of our scripture reading this morning, says, I have hidden your word in my heart. Committing it to memory so that it's there, because you don't always have a Bible with you everywhere you go. Or you may not be able to stop and look it up. But by having it in our minds, it's there. And notice the rest of the verse, that I might not sin against you. Solomon writes in Proverbs 4:4, let your heart hold fast to my words. Keep my commandments and live. In the Hebrew, the words translated hold fast, it means to grasp, to hold on firmly. And that's what we are to do with God's word. To get a grip and to hold on to it in our minds. Knowing the Bible is very useful in resisting temptation. Remember the story of Jesus when he was in the wilderness? He was out there for 40 days. He wasn't near any scrolls. He wasn't near the synagogue. He didn't have anybody he could turn to. But when the devil came three different times with three different temptations, how did Jesus respond every time? With the words, it is written. And he quoted scripture. He was able to resist the temptation of the devil because he knew the truth of God's word. It was right there in his mind. And this is one of the benefits of memorizing scripture. One of the best ways to defeat the wrong kinds of thoughts is to fill our minds with the right kinds of thoughts. And what better place to get those than the scripture? And the more we get into God's word, he will transform our minds. He'll make us more spiritually minded. We become more like him. Say, okay, how do you do it? Well, there's numerous programs out there for memorizing scripture. And I would recommend find one that works for you, because not all of them are going to work for everybody. For some, it might be little note cards. I can remember the way my dad used to memorize scripture is he had a stack of index cards. And he would write out the verse, and he was a truck driver. And so he was able to stick it someplace on his dashboard, hopefully not over the speedometer, but somewhere right in front of him, where he saw it several times and could be reminded of it. Some of us could stick it on the bathroom mirror and we'd see it a lot. Wherever you might be, have it there in your vision that you can see it. Others may use audio recording. Maybe you remember better what you hear than what you see. And so as you're driving down the road, you can have scripture on a CD and listen to it and allow it to enter your mind that way. Now, for some, that you'll learn individual verses, and that's good. It's a good place to start. But it's also good to memorize some larger passages of scripture. Bite off whole chunks. And the good thing about that is you keep it in its context. It's much less likely that you'll take that verse and make it mean something it doesn't. And so it's good to memorize a portion of Scripture. Maybe a short psalm. You could memorize the whole thing. Or maybe a part of a chapter. Now I'd like to give you 7 practical steps that you can use in this process of Scripture memorization. First, choose a time when your mind is free from outside distractions. Maybe it's the first thing when you get up in the morning. Or maybe if you're more of a night owl, it's when everybody else has gone to bed and it's quiet. But choose a time when you're not going to be distracted. Learn the reference as well as the verse and repeat it. Every time you say the verse, say the book, the chapter, and the verse. Because that'll help commit that into your mind as well. Read each verse through several times and read it out loud. When you read it out loud, not only are you seeing it with your eyes, you're speaking it with your mouth and you're hearing it in your ears. You're actually reinforcing that in your mind. Break the passage into its natural phrases. If you've got a longer verse, just memorize it a phrase at a time. Don't overwhelm yourself, because then you'll say, oh, I can't do this, and you'll quit. Go small. Oh, I can remember in Sunday school, you know, we'd have these contests for memorizing verses, right? What were the first verses we would run to? Jesus wept. John 11:35. Already got one done. Rejoice evermore. There's one. Pray without ceasing. There's another one. You get these little tiny verses. Nah, that's good. It's a good way to start. Start small. Work your way up. I like this one. Learn a little bit perfectly rather than a great deal poorly. Instead of trying to memorize a great big hunk of scripture that you really don't quite get, work on a little bit until you've got it down. Then you can work on the next. Review those verses immediately after you've gone through this process. Maybe a half an hour later, repeat it again. As you go through the day, see if you can repeat it without looking at it. And in time, you're going to get to where that verse is implanted in your mind. And then use the verse sometime as soon as you can. Use it in conversation. Share it with somebody else. Even if it's a good friend, you can say, hey, let me tell you this verse I just learned. As you speak it, again, being firmly implanted in your mind. And not only that, it goes to show that scripture memorization is not purely academic. Try to find where you can use that scripture in a conversation, where you can write it in a letter, where it affects something that's happening around you. Again, that's going to help it get in and stay in. So scripture memorization, this is one way to take our spiritual food and chew on it. Now, a second healthy practice for spiritual digestion is scripture meditation. Now, I know that word scares a lot of people. Back in the 1960s, we heard a lot about meditation. Some of the Eastern religions introduced transcendental meditation. And we were told as Christians, that's not a good thing. They're right. It's not. But the act of meditation itself is okay. What makes it good or bad is what you're meditating on. And transcendental meditation was all about meditating on nothing. You try to clear your mind. Meditate on nothing. I'm talking about nirvana, perfect nothingness. What you really are doing then is you're opening yourself up to something else that might not be so good. Meditation, though, isn't the problem. If we're meditating on the right things, and meditating on Scripture is something the Bible tells us we ought to do. There are many passages in the Bible that talk about it. The Lord said to Joshua in Joshua 1:8, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night." Meditate on the Scriptures. Now that Hebrew word for meditate literally means to mutter, to say under your breath. Now I know that muttering we tend to think of as negative. It's kind of annoying when people mutter. You can't hear what they're saying. You're wondering if maybe you should hear what they're saying. Days, what they would do is that they would speak the Scriptures aloud to themselves and to each other. And throughout the day, they would be muttering these passages of Scripture over and over and over. Again, implanting it deep into their minds and in their heart. I think this is why God told Joshua, don't let this book of the law depart out of your mouth. Because in meditating on it, they would be saying it over and over. Now, I realize that we are oftentimes in a place where we can't do that, literally. If we're at work, if we're around other people and we keep muttering to ourselves, they're going to think we're a little strange. But it's the idea of going over it over and over again. It's kind of letting it stew in your minds, reflecting on it. And you don't want to do this with a huge passage of Scripture. Just take a phrase. Just take a little bit. For example, let me give you an example. The love chapter. Remember, we spent 3 months going through the love chapter in our Sunday morning services earlier this year. We broke it down into little phrases. Love is patient. If you're going to meditate, you would just take those three words. Love is patient. And you keep it going over and over in your mind and you ask yourself, what does this mean? What does it mean that love is patient? What does that look like? How can my love be patient at work, at home, when I'm driving? Oh boy. These are the kinds of thoughts. You don't have to take the whole chapter. Just take one phrase. Take one thought and let it go over and over and over in our minds. Now again, people say, I can't do that. Yes, you can. How many of you have the ability to worry? Everybody, can you worry? If you can worry, you can meditate. You see, worrying is focused thinking on something negative. Meditation is focused thinking on something positive. And the same mental ability that we use when we worry, we can use to meditate. In fact, that's a good way to quit worrying. If you think about things, you won't have time to think about the wrong things, right? So we meditate, we focus our thinking on God's Word. The book of Psalms speaks often of meditating on Scripture. Very first Psalm, by the way, if you want a good Psalm to memorize, Psalm 1, only 6 verses. It's a great Psalm. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, who does not sit in the seat of the scornful, who does not stand in the way of sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Once again, that meditation on Scripture, going over it and over, like that cow chewing its cud, we meditate on God's Word. We read earlier from Psalm 119, and I mentioned then it's the longest chapter of the Bible, but it's also a celebration of God's Word. 174 of the 176 verses speak of God's Word in one way or another. Notice how often the practice of meditation is specifically mentioned. Verse 15, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. Verse 23, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Verse 27, let me understand the teaching of your precepts, then I will meditate on your wonders. Verse 48, I lift up my hands to your commands, which I love, and I meditate on your decrees. Verse 78, I will meditate on your precepts. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law! I meditate on it all day long. Verse 99, I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I remember sharing that once in high school as my favorite verse. Teachers didn't like it very well. Verse 148, my eyes stay open through the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promises. Over and over, it talks about this practice of meditation. And no other habit can do more to transform our life and make us more like Jesus than daily reflection on Scripture. Because as we take the time to contemplate God's truth, as we seriously reflect on God's Word, we are transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. But there's one more step in the process. Beyond memorization, beyond meditation is the step of mobilization, or putting it into practice. You see, it's not enough to possess a Bible. Just having it isn't going to do you any good. You can carry it around like a rabbit's foot, and it's not going to help at all. It's not enough to read the Bible or to hear it read in church. It's not even enough to study the Bible. You know, some Christians will search the Scriptures just like the Jews did back in Jesus' day. They find it a fascinating textbook. They may pride themselves on biblical knowledge. They may excel in tracing biblical allusions like crossword puzzle clues. They've heard it read, or they've read it themselves many times from cover to cover. Maybe they've even committed parts of it to memory. And that's all good and fine, but accumulation of Bible knowledge is one thing. A growing personal knowledge of the Scriptures and of the God of the Scriptures is another. See, what is required is that we obey the Bible. We have to put it into practice. Now, before we obey the Bible, we have to know the Bible, right? You can't obey something you don't know. So those first steps are important to get the Bible into our minds, but it can't just stay there. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, knowledge puffs up, gives you a swelled head. You ever known somebody like that? They know it all. Don't believe them? Just ask them. They will tell you. Doesn't matter what somebody says, they can top that. And it is possible to get that way even with Scripture. That we know it so well. Isn't that what the religious leaders did in Jesus' day? They knew their Scriptures. And yet when Jesus came as the fulfillment of those Scriptures, they were completely off. Totally missed the boat. And Jesus told them, oh, you know the Scriptures so well, but you don't do it. You don't put it into practice. You see, reading, receiving, researching, remembering, reflecting on the Word, it's all useless unless we put it into practice. James says we must be doers of the Word. Now, I'll admit this is the hardest step of all because Satan will fight us on this. He doesn't care if we hear the Word. He doesn't care if we go to church. He doesn't care if we go to Bible studies. He doesn't care if we study the Bible ourselves as long as we don't live it. It's when we live it that he's going to stand up and try to get us off the track. But this is such an important part of what we must do as Christians. Jesus told a parable. I remember learning this one in Sunday school. The rich man built his house upon the rock. He had the little song with the hand motions. You know, the rains came, the floods came up. The house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house on the sand. The rains came down, the floods came up, the house went flat. Of course, kids love that because they can make noise. You know how Jesus how he interpreted that parable? The wise man was not the one who went to church every Sunday and the foolish man's the one who slept in. That's not what he said. Both the wise man and the foolish man heard his words. The wise man put them into practice. The foolish one did not. You know, you might think that coming to church for an hour or so, God must be pleased with that. I'm in good shape now. He'll bless me because I was in church. It's not a matter of putting in our time. Now, I'm not saying don't come to church. I want you to come to church. But coming to church isn't enough. We got to take what we learn here and put it into practice out there. That's when it becomes real. That's when we become real. That's when we're going to make a difference in our world. It's when we take the truth of God's Word and put it into practice. Jesus told his disciples in John 13:17, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. He didn't say be blessed because you know them. You will be blessed if you do them. Then Paul wrote in Philippians 4:9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, write it in a notebook and stick it on a shelf. Is that what it says? No. It says, whatever things you've learned from me and heard from me, put them into practice. and then the God of peace will be with you. How do you do that? The best way to become a doer of the word is to always write out an action step as a result of the scripture that you're learning and that you're meditating on. Develop a habit of writing down. Keep a journal. Keep a notebook. Write down the verses that you have studied or that you're memorizing, that you're meditating on. Write it down, but then don't just write down the verse. Write down what I can do with it. And that action step should be personal. It's not something somebody else needs to do. It's something I need to do. It's something practical, something that can be done. And it should be something provable. Something that when you've done it, you can say, yes, it's been done. Maybe give yourself a deadline. By the end of the week, I want to do this. By the end of the month. Whatever it might be. Make it practical. Make it something you can do. As D.L. Moody said, the Bible was not given to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives. And if you come to church week after week after week after week and month after month and year after year and your life doesn't change, you're wasting your time. It is only as we allow God's Word to change how we live that we grow in Christ. It takes that step, mobilizing it. So, as we bring this message to a close, how's your spiritual diet? Are you regularly feeding on God's Word? Or do you think that coming to church once a week or so is sufficient? If you do regularly partake of the Scriptures, are you racing through its pages? Maybe you have a goal to read through the Bible in a year, and that's fine. But if you're just flipping the pages and 10 minutes later you don't remember what you're reading, slow down. You're not going to get any extra credit in heaven for reading through the Bible in 12 months. It's better that you take a smaller part and you understand it. Do you find yourselves in situations wishing you could recall that Bible verse that would really help you out or maybe somebody else in a particular situation? If this is the case, take the Scripture, chew on it, take the time, let it sink in. Memorize the Scriptures. Store those verses in your mind so that you can recall it when you or somebody you know need it. Repeat it over and over until you get it with the chapter and verse. And then share it with somebody else to cement that in your own mind. Secondly, meditate on the Scriptures. Reflect on that truth. Go over it and over it throughout your day. Think about how it applies in a variety of situations. Put it in your own words so that you fully understand it and that you can communicate it to others. And then mobilize the Scriptures. Don't just learn it, live it. Put it into practice. Look for ways that it can be done. Now, where to start? I mentioned before, Psalm 1 is a great place to start. It's a great psalm to memorize. Verse by verse, and pretty soon you can memorize the whole psalm. And reflect on it. Let it sink in. Psalm 27 is another great one. It's a little bit longer, but it's a great psalm of promise. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That's a great promise to have when things aren't going well in our lives. In the New Testament, maybe the Beatitudes. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." Memorize those. Just a few verses. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering. I think there's 9 of them there. Memorize them. And then, throughout the day, take one. The fruit of the Spirit is love. What does that mean? Fruit of the Spirit is peace. What does that mean? Let it go over and over in your mind. until it becomes a part of you. And I would also recommend you find a partner, maybe a small group, who share that desire, and you can help each other along the way. You can encourage each other. You know, if you know someone's going to call you every day and say, "Hey, have you learned Scripture today? Have you gone over it?" You're more likely to do it. Find somebody that'll help you along the way and encourage you. Accountability can go a long way to keep us motivated and dedicated to the task. And the next time you drive by a farm and you see a cow out in the field just chewing on its cud, be reminded, we need to do that. We need to take God's word and chew on it. Make it a part of our lives. We'll be healthier spiritually if we do it.